Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. This is Mama Seven, and I hope everyone is well. Okay, we are doing radio. So it's been an interesting day. It's been an interesting couple of days. Wednesday always are. And I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to say not just Wednesday, but anything that you're trying to do, spiritual, positive, all that good stuff, anytime you're trying to spread light into this place, this earth, this understanding, there's usually a reaction of negativity, unfortunately. That can't stop us. Plan for it. You know, I don't know what to tell you, but we have a responsibility to keep going. All day long, I work in a harsh environment. And today, I had one of the people in this harsh environment that lived there. I just visit. They live in this environment. And he said, you know, I have to find the strength to keep going. And every time God is speaking to me, I know, because my ears kind of twitch a little bit. So I started listening. I said, okay, so what is going to be that thing that keeps you going? He says, well, I haven't heard it yet, but I know there's something out there I can hold on to that's going to keep me going. And I said, okay, sounds good. And then he turns and looks at me and says, well, what keeps you going? And I kind of smiled, and I'm like, you know, here we go. Here's God. You know, here's the butterfly waiting to take off, you know. And of course, my answer is knowing that I'm on the right side, the God side, and that I'm going to win. He's looking at me like he's waiting for something else. And I'm like, that's all. Just knowing that I'm doing the right thing and I will win. Why am I going to win? How am I going to win? What round is it going to be? Is it going to be triple overtime? I don't know that stuff yet. But I just know that because of the work that I'm doing, because I know that I'm keeping myself focused on God, because I know that I'm working hard in this earthly understanding, really, I'm going to win. The victory is already mine. I just have to keep fighting. If God told us exactly what round we would win, we would stop fighting. Or we would only train. God said, oh, you're going to be the winner in the sixth round. I would only train for five rounds. God got that last one, you know. If God told us, hey, look, you know, all you have to do is get through high school. Don't worry about college. I'm skipping half of that high school. I'm not taking any notes. You know, I'm just human. I'm just lazy like that. This is what we do. This is why we don't know. This is why we have to keep fighting. This is why God wants us to continue working as long and as hard and as good as we can. Because if I was all right, we would do two steps less than I am. I think it's human nature, you know. We're going to look to find a new way. I know for those people that work out, God bless you people that work out, but for the people that work out, they will tell you you can't do the same exercise every day, every day, every day. Why? Because your body actually learns how to cheat. And so the benefit that you would get from this one exercise after doing it over and over and over again, your body learns how to do it easier so you don't have to keep doing it that hard. You're cheating. It's cheating. This is why they mix it up. They have leg day, arm day. This is why they mix it up so that your body is challenged every single time it does it. Okay? So when it comes to our spirituality, when it comes to building who we are. This is why I suggest that we learn a certain number of prayers. I didn't just say one prayer. We have a whole number of prayers that we have to achieve. Why? I mean, really, if you think about it, I know prayers that are so profound. That one prayer is how and why I committed my life to God. You know what I'm saying? Just these words alone, the way these words are put together, I'm like, this is all I need. I'm here. But I have to learn different prayers because I don't want my spirit to cheat at all. I want to get the full benefit. I want to study the prayer. I want, you know, sometimes I'll say a prayer and I'll hear an echo at a certain point. And I'm like, and I'm, so it makes me again, I'm this is not video, so you can't see me cock my ear, but it makes me kind of like listen, like, what was that? What was the message? I said this prayer 1,000 times. Why is that part now newly important? That's because we have to begin to understand what God is trying to say. And there are certain messages that come forward even after years of doing the same thing over and over again. So I want everyone to, you know, I hate to give out homework, and we're in the first couple minutes of the program, but I really need everybody to know their motivation as to why we're working in this spiritual arena. Why be over here? Honestly, you know, they have as many churches as they do liquor stores in some places. You know, there's a lot of different places that you can get the word. You can go in, clap your hands, you listen. The preacher's going to give a rousing speech, get you all excited, and then you can go home. There are places where you can go and hear the drum and sweat. Oh, my God. Hear the drums, sweat, dance, praise, worship, fall out, get possessed, whatever you want to do, and then you can go home. Right now, what I'm asking for is already at the house. I'm asking you to apply some of the things that the preacher was talking about. I'm asking you to go deeper within your own understanding so that you know for yourself what the preacher was talking about. So I'm asking something a little deeper from you. And the fact that you're here, either live or part of the hundreds of people that will check it out later, if you're listening to this at all, I'm going to ask you, why do you do this? Make sure you know that answer. It can't be because of Mama 7. Mama 7 loves you, but I don't hold that much clout. When you start going and talking to God, God be like, she's cute and all, but my goodness, you know. So I wish that my name alone was worthy of such. It's not. It's not. This relationship with God is personal. This relationship with God is private. This relationship with God has to be in place no matter where I am. Y'all don't even know. I travel a lot. I be scooting around. I be around the corner. I mean, I don't even know which state I'm going to be in this weekend. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain things you got to know for sure. One thing for sure, two things for certain. You got to have that personal relationship with God. So I just encourage everybody, you know, that's just been on my heart, find your motivation. Find that reason why you study God's word. Find the reason that you want to understand the words that he has left for us, the blueprint that he leaves for us. Make sure that we have that understanding. Because when you know that part for sure, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, Mama 7 is adventurous. We go everywhere. We have so much fun. You know, COVID kind of clipped our wings a little bit, but I have a feeling come spring, I'm hoping the powwows come back. I'm hoping some of the bembes and other cultural events come back. I'm hoping that we're going to start seeing our festivals. Oh, my goodness. get back to our festival. And you can go anywhere you want, your synagogues, temples. I've been to quite a few of these things, right? But because I know God personally, because we have an intimate relationship, they only benefit me. They're only giving me a glimpse of what I already know. When I sit outside in nature and the butterflies cross me, I already know my relationship with God. And so this butterfly is just giving me inspiration in the middle of that. Today's Wednesday. Shout out to all my pastors. Still a long day, y'all. Still a long day. So we're fasting. We're in white. I'm in jail, you know. We're doing all this work, right? We're trying to remain positive. Now, I can tell you it's real easy to be not positive when you're hungry. It's disrespectful, okay? But we work hard at this, right? So just as I was had my fill, I stormed over to the other trailer. I looked like Miss Sophia walking down the trail to confront Whoopi Goldberg. Sorry. That vision just passed through my eyes. I just said, okay, so I'm walking down to the other trailer. I told you I'm in a prison. And I put my foot on the first step. And on the second step is a little black feather. And it had to be about 2-3 inches. Little thing. Little tiny thing. I have vulture feathers. So I have feathers that go, you know, a whole foot, foot and a half. And this little tiny feather is sitting on this trailer step. And it has a white tip. And I'm looking at it. And I stop and I pick it up. I turn myself around. I go back to my seat. I pray. It's amazing. I have a trailer by myself. Now I can pray. I pray out loud. I don't care. I don't care, and they don't care. They know it's for the best of everyone. So, and I was just so thankful at that very moment to have gotten turned around. Blow your roll. It ain't that serious. Don't make a mountain out of this molehill. Don't transfer your hangry over to someone else who's looking to pick a fight. See, I'm just hungry. This other person is sitting there stewing in their mess. They're looking for a reason to spread their mess around. And my pretty whites were target number one. And I'm so glad this itty-bitty 2-3 inches worth of a feather was there. So I picked it up. I rolled it up in a little piece of paper so that I can take it home. And I sat down and I made my prayer. And I was thankful to God for being with me, even in the valley. That's what my job feels like, the valley. My job feels like a cloud. And I'll be glad to come from under this cloud. But while I'm here, I'm thankful that God is willing to watch me in here. I'm glad that God protects my every movement and sends angels, even the angels on the other side. I'm talking about the guys that wear the stripes. Even some of them have angelic abilities to be watchful and caring for me. So I'm so thankful to God at this moment to just be able to calm your little horses. Calm your horses. Calm. Sit down. And then an hour later, the whole situation had worked out in my favor. I didn't have to worry about anything. So all that to say, God is with you always. Today's show, and I'm sorry, tonight they said, why don't you just talk about questions? I was like, no one has any questions. Let's talk about Oracle. But I can see now why they wanted an open format, because I think Spirit had some things to say. But before we get into that episode, last week's show, like all of the shows, was electric, okay? Spirituality in the Matrix. And we're talking about the Matrix. You know, that's almost become code word for this system that we're in. But last week it was about the actual movie, The Matrix, and it was a great show. We had with our young sister, Aza, one of the goddaughters that came forward and shared her knowledge information on it. It was a really good show. If you want to get a chance to listen to it, quite a few of you have. All you have to do is go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. All of the older shows are there. Check out that show and any other ones that you wish. I liked it because it gave us a chance to see the way Hollywood likes to use our information and how we have to get more open to receiving information. And then turn around next week and we have Understanding Oracle. So I absolutely love, I hear you, God, I hear you. Yeah, we're listening. We're trying to be obedient. So that's what we're going to do. Okay? So Understanding Oracle. Understanding Oracle is a big part of spirituality. It's such a big part of spirituality that there are people that have a hard time connecting in spirituality because they love to go through their dalil and a dalil. They like to go through their proof. Prove it to me. What did you say? Prove it to me. Where did God say that? Prove it to me. You know, so if you need, and there in spirituality, there's lots of proof. But if you're going about the information to debate, if you're going about the information to gather this and to show that and prove, already you have, I don't want to say the wrong energy, but I don't know how successful or how happy you're going to be in spirituality if you're here to debate. There are other systems that are set up that are easier to debate. Spirituality is not one of those. And the reason why is because spirituality is truly of spirit. It is truly changing. It's dynamic. It's not static. It's not still. It's changing. It's moving, building, growing, breathing, evolving. It is personal. It is real time. It is all those wonderful things. So you can't master spirituality. You can't know everything there is to know about spirits. It's impossible. Because the second that you think you do, you know, our brains would literally turn into mush. Our brains are not built to handle that much information. It's not. So one, if we're not designed to do it, I would suggest we not do it, you know, just me personally. But even if we were to get all of the information and to place it into our brain, it would change. It changes because it's adding more information to the last set of information that you just got. And understanding Oracle, understanding spirituality, is not about the accumulation of knowledge. And this is, I'm going to make a disclaimer here, something I don't usually do. This is my opinion. This is Mama Seven's opinion. Okay? And you're welcome to press 1. If you would like to share your opinion, all right? But I don't want to dissuade someone from trying to learn everything there is about spirit. But, you know, I don't think spirit is about the accumulation of knowledge, even though I work hard to accumulate it. I'm not working, you know, my goal is not to have it. You know, my goal is not to, you know, debate it or even to lecture it or anything like that. You know, my goal is to try to understand what's going on, what we should be doing, different techniques for achieving a goal. For me, spirituality is more about the tools we need to live this life, literally. This is not about, you know, I look at spirituality as like a general doctor, a general doctor that has to know, I have to know about ear, nose, and throat, and I got to know about this, I have to know about that. And your doctor can give you general information, general knowledge, help you here, there, there. Now, there are doctors that will have hand specialists. One of the ladies at work hurt her hand and lost a job, but she hurt her hand. She had to go to a hand specialist. And this is someone who focuses only on hands and wrists. Not a general doctor, not an overall understanding, someone that can give you that specialized information right when it comes to this part of the body or this part of spirit. Okay? So Oracle is the way, is the general doctor. Oracle is the one, the way that we get information, the way that we share. Oracle defined is a noun, a priest or priestess acting as a medium through whom advice or prophecy is sought from the gods in a classic way. A place in which divine advice or prophecy is sought. Oracle is a person or a place where we know divine information will be. So to me, this is just about everybody, right? Everyone is supposed to be able to go to this place within themselves. At, you know, it takes a little practice. Don't, you know, stay with me for a second. But you're supposed to have within us, each of us has within us connection in this peace that is from God, right? Because we're all made in God's image. There's something within us that resonates with God. So we're all containing this place. But the idea that it's from a priest or priestess, this is someone that not only has this place, but has trained in the art of mediumship. Therefore, God's information can be not just delivered, but interpreted. Okay? So we're all carrying this God energy. We all have within us this trace of God. And if you train, you can begin to understand what God has for you. You'll be able to hear him speak to you clearly. This feather that I saw was so small that if I had allowed myself to stay in my anger, if I allowed myself to stay distracted, self-righteous, if I had just allowed myself to stay in that energy, I would have missed a feather. If I had allowed myself to stay in, I would say, a low vibrating place, I might have even accidentally stepped on it. Here this is, this gift. And everyone that knows me, I love feathers. Love feathers. I have quite a few different types of feathers. And it's amazing, I have three cats in this house, and none of them bother the feathers. I don't know if they know that I would strangle them or what, but feathers are so precious to me. And they always come at these divine moments. This weekend, what day was that? Saturday, I saw a little black feather. And I was right outside of my sister's house. I said, Spirit said, take the feather and give it to your sister. I said, wait a minute. She don't even appreciate feathers like I do. And they're like, nope, you give it to her. So I walked in the door and presented it. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my God. So it had been on my mind. But that's okay. I'm following instructions. I don't know why she needed that feather. I'm just following instructions, right? And then 2-3 days later, to get my own, I was so happy. And, you know, of course, there's more lessons in it. Not only did it come at a moment where God was trying to really take my train off the tracks and have me do something totally different, but it came at a moment where it was like, you know, I need you to understand that you never lose anything. You're not going to lose. You just keep following God's instructions. Nothing that you give, you will ever lose. I'm going to make sure of that. Even something as small as a feather. So, you know, and there are times when we do get afraid of losing. You know, we'll hold on tight, hold on tighter to something unhealthy, unnecessary, outdated, need to be let go of. But no, we'll hold on because we're afraid to lose. Don't be afraid to lose. God has so much more. God has an abundance. He'll make more just for you. So, you know, even the small things to me have big lessons. And that's, you know, really how I live my life. And so when I think about Oracle, when I think about prophecy, when I think about understanding God's word, it's those types of things that help me to really understand how much God is walking in my life with me. You know, and of course I say that because I'm me, but really I'm walking in the path that God has set up. Be clear. Be extra clear, guys. Like, you know, spirits in here, like, can you say that for the ones in the back? Okay. Because I'm a person, I think that God's walking with me. I am walking in the path that God has set out for me. Okay. We can't keep humanizing God and think that he has legs and he's going to kind of scoot along with me. No. I'm walking the path that God has laid out for me. How do I know this is the right path? How do I know this is God's path? I get little confirmations like that. And I also reach out to Oracle. I get my readings, okay? Definition, readings, what is that? Okay, a reading is when you sit down with someone who is trained, and when I, trained to gather information for you and to share it with you and interpret the information so that you can understand what God is trying to tell you, okay? I just said a whole lot, and I'm going to say it slower, is when someone is gathering information for you to give to you. How is this done, Mama Seven? The ways are many. And I want to share some of the ways because there are some people that are like, well, I believe I can do that. I'd like you to try. I really would. I would like you to try. I would like for you to apply yourself. I would like for you to take time to study God's word. I would like for you to live the lifestyle. Everybody can't be Oracle. Everybody, you can't. I don't want no messages from somebody with dirty hands. If you have bad habits, if you are not a person of high character, you can't do my reading. I don't want that. Because I don't want anything else mixed up in my message from God. I don't want anything else mixed up in, you know, the good blessing that God has for me. See, God doesn't give me dirt. So I don't want my message to have dirt on it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at, for me, character is a big deal. I have to know that you can give me God's word, period. You know, I can tell you this, Mama Seven does not sugarcoat anything. Nothing. Nothing at all. Why? Because I didn't get it sugary. I can only give you what I get. Nothing more, nothing less. Okay? So we have to begin to work on and continue to work through understanding Oracle. Okay? How? I met a guy. He had inboxed me and said that, you know, he wanted to do a reading for me. And I kind of chuckled. I said, okay. He said, yeah, I've been working hard. I've been studying all of 6 months. Then I laughed out loud. You know, I was like, 6 months, boy, you know, pup, how dare you? 6 months ain't long enough for you to know anything, to be accountable and responsible for the information that you have. 6 months got you over here ready to jump into my bathwater. You don't even know who I am. You don't even know how deep this rabbit hole goes. You don't know anything. This 6 months got you feeling yourself, basically. I politely educated him on the dangers that he was opening himself up to by trying to read somebody, one that he didn't know, and then two, with only 6 months of training. And he informed me, well, look, woman, I'm just trying to make some money for my baby. And I said, okay, this is not what you do for money. Now, you can charge money, and you should charge money. You should charge money because it takes money to study. If you're studying with someone, that's usually an exchange of something. If you are getting books, that costs money. If you are lighting candles, and you should be, that costs money. If you are doing anything indoors, the roof over your head, it costs money. Telephone bill that you're doing the reading over the telephone or over messenger, all that stuff costs money. So it does cost money. But this is not something you do for money. This is not, because when you start opening yourself up, that's what a reading is. That's what the oracle has to do. She has to open, she, he, they, it has to open themselves up. Raise their vibration, get the information, bring it back into this understanding, untainted, and deliver and translate it and deliver it. Okay? That's dangerous work. Even opening yourself up like that. I've had people, I'm like, look, I love you and I want you to read, but you can't right now because opening your head up is dangerous. Just that alone. So in 6 months, you don't learn everything that you need to. Even if you had a teacher with you night and day, day and night, and most people don't learn like that. We may take a class once a week, twice a week, but not really every day, all day. But no matter what, 6 months. So, you know, I do what I do with young people, because he's a young person. As I educated him as into the dangers that he was really putting himself in, and suggested that he find him a good teacher and sit down somewhere. He didn't appreciate the lesson, the message, or anything like that. And I didn't appreciate him with 6 months old, dirty hands over here talking to me. But those are types of things that we have to be cautious for, okay? Learning to do this oracle work will take a lifetime. Now, you'll get somewhere with it. It won't take a lifetime for it to kick in. It'll take a lifetime for you to get good at. And if you don't feel like, well, I ain't got no lifetime, I'm trying to make money tomorrow, this is not it. The money will not be worth it. I don't care. I had this one little one. She's like, oh, but Mama Seven, this girl over here, she yells, she fuss, she cuss, she do whatever she want to do. And she has 50,000 followers and blah, blah. Look, if you're doing this for followers, you're not doing it for the right reason. Doing oracle work is doing God work. You're supposed to be at a state of ready to receive God's word. That's not something you want to go into willy-nilly. But this is some of the things we have to think about. So what tools do oracles use? So I want to go over the tools. And this is not a one-woman show. I want to say that for all my newbies on the line because, again, We have quite a few newbies. Love it. Welcome. We do this every Wednesday. But I'm Mama Seven, and I'm part of A Wonderful Approach. A Wonderful Approach is a spiritual healing and educational organization. And there's many of us. And I don't do all the talking. You know, it may seem like it tonight. I don't. All you have to do, if you'd like to join us and want to speak about conversation, you want to add to, all you have to do is press 1. That lets us know, hey, I'd like to add to this. I know something about Oracle, or I have a question, a particular question I want you to address. So all you have to do is press 1, and that lets us know, okay? All right, so what type of tools do Oracles use? I'll tell you. Some of them use, I know in the Yoruba tradition, they have a chain that has, I'm doing this with my hands again, shells on each side, and that tells them, you know, that leads them into a science and system that is studied for years. They're for divining, all of these are divining tools. There are some sets where you use 4 shells. There are other divining systems that use teen shells. Let me see. Yeah. There are like 3 or 4 very popular systems. There's the G-Phase system. Then there's the Dalagoon. And there are the Odus. And these are those are from, I would say, the African traditional religion, where they have a system of, okay, it's a system of ones and zeros. Y'all gonna kill me. You know, it's a system of ones and zeros, right? Ups and downs, left and right. Is a binary system. Y'all remember we were talking about the Matrix last, just to do a quick tie in the last week's show. Y'all remember we were talking about the Matrix, and after Neo became the one, after he realized he was it, he saw the Matrix as it was, which is a binary system of ones and zeros. That's what the computers thrive on. That's what the programming set up on is ones and zeros, zeros and ones. That's what these dividing systems are set up on. Don't let anybody tell you anything different, okay? Anyways, I digress. No, I progress as I digress from the topic. You know, really, the Odus are a deep thing, and but as deep as they are, they speak on sometimes the simplest concepts, okay? But it takes years to get that. It takes years to understand that. I just said it. But it took me about 5 years to get it and to understand it, and I'm still learning, practicing on a regular. Regular meaning every day for me. So so that's the E5 systems. Then there are tarot cards. And tarot cards are just as diverse as the other divining systems. There are, you know, the Rider-Waite set is the basic set. If you ever think about getting a set of cards, I'm going to tell you, get a Rider-Waite set. That's the beginning. Those are the very, very basic cards, okay? Then you can move into the Orisha cards, this card, that card. All those other cards are built off of understanding from the Rider-Waite set. Even if you never used the Rider-Waite set, understanding how there's a lot more information out there for Rider-Waite, and you'll be able to really understand. It to me, it's an easier system to understand. I've seen their Risha cards. They're okay. I've seen a couple of the Destiny cards. I've seen some Phoenix cards. The cards are all doing one thing. They're all communicating an image to the reader, the holder, in this image translates into this meaning, you know, and the meaning can be different for each reader. I have seen tarot readers, and it looks like they have 5 or 6 decks, and I'm like, for what? Now, I've been reading and working with tarot. Let's see how I judge everything off of Talib. Everything is before Talib and after Talib. So I've been looking at them for about 17 years. And one deck. I don't, when you have a deck of cards, when you have your cards and they're communicating with you, you are developing a relationship. This is a relationship. Why would you need more than one relationship? If this tool, I've seen tarot readers pull one card and blow your mind, okay? One card. So why in the world do you need five and six decks? I think that's a new habit. I think that's something that people are doing. You know, I hate to be like this, and I don't want to be judgmental, and I don't want to be ignorant, ignorant meaning lacking of knowledge. But I think this is something that people do for show. You know, look, I can learn this, I can learn that, I can see this, or trying to show I have this deck in my repertoire or whatever. But I'm like, really, are you developing intimate relationships with these decks? You know, I have one set of shelves. I have tons of shrines, and there are times where I am taking my coins to this event. You know, if I'm doing this work and I need to know the information for this work, I have to do that. One set of shelves. Why do I need more than that? You know what I'm saying? I'm developing a relationship with them. So, you know, as you're building a relationship, you know, we like to look around and be like, ooh, this person has, you know, six shrines. I went six shrines. You're building and making commitments to all this energy. I'm going to suggest that we start small and do it really well before we start trying to have, you know, all this energy piled up on top of each other and you don't know A from B, okay? So understanding Oracle means we're going to be divining, and we're going to be working with a medium, a priest, a priestess, trying to get this information, okay? So tarot cards, lots of them, doing multiple different things. Then there are bones. People use anything to read. I've seen people use candles before and have read the flames. I have seen people, now this is the one that always gets me, y'all know what I'm about to say, them tea leaves. Man, they will look at a tea cup and see the leftover tea leaves and I'm like, there's no way in the world, there's no way that you can tell me that this dirty cup, this cup with tea leaves in it, is speaking to you. And they'll be like, it is. And, you know, they'll tell me, and I'm like, uh-uh. All that is that person has a connection with God, with angels, and when they look at the cup, God is speaking to them. It's almost, you know, like in certain places, I've seen people have bells on their shrine. I have bells all over the place, but now I'm a shrine. And they ring the bell to get the being's attention, and I sit back on, you know, I'm looking like, oh, no, they didn't. You know, you can do that if that's what you've been taught, but you know, it's almost, I think they look at this teacup, and when they do that, it sends a message to God or their angels and their ancestors that they're ready to receive this message, because I have looked in teacups and all I saw was a dirty cup. I didn't get it. That wasn't my medium. That wasn't my tool that I use. I know a little one, she uses stones, actual stones. And the way that, you know, the stones come out, their formation, the way they look, the energy, the stones are giving her information. And I'm like, how? What is this stone saying that it hasn't said over the beginning of time? When it was first created, it had purpose, it had meaning, what is this stone saying now, you know? And so, but she does, and it's incredibly accurate. So I know people that do past life readings. Why is it important to understand who I was in a past life? And I can tell you the answer. you, the reason why people want to learn about their past life is because chances are they're a part of us that still remembers the past life, and that will let us know more information about why and how we are this way in this lifetime. So there are past lives readings that you can get. There are roots readings. They call them roots readings. They are understanding. A roots reading is to find out where exactly your ancestry comes from. You know, there, of course, there are the ancestry.coms, the Me and 23, and there's all kinds of other tools that you can use to get information. But reading gives you more information about your people's spiritual practices. And I can imagine that being quite educational for what you need. And I think that everyone understanding Oracle, another big thing is the Misas or the Ikojokos. You know, you can have a Misa where you set out the white table for ancestors and you gather them. They come, they sit down, they have a good time, they are sharing information, they are helping this, healing this. You know, that is another, that's a place when they say an oracle can be a place or it can be a person, that is definitely a place where healing occurs, where information occurs. And then you have someone there that can translate that, that can help you understand and explain all that that is, okay? So as you can see, as diverse a people that we are, there are diverse methods of getting this information, and you have to work on getting your information, okay? Again, if you would like to speak, all you have to do is press 1, and you can ask your question, you can add to the conversation. So how often, you know, just in general questions, how often should someone get a reading? How often should someone consult with Oracle? You know, even if you have skills yourself, even if you spend time with your ancestors and they are very active, I would say at the very least, once a year. And the reason why at least once a year is because no matter how great you are at this job, it's still important to gather and to stop what you're doing and gather information. To me, it's almost like, you know, if you don't like getting your hair washed and dried, and you got, it doesn't matter. There comes a point in time where we're not going to keep covering this up. You're going to have to get that hair washed, shampooed, and conditioned, okay? That's what the Oracle, that's what getting readings are for. That's what consulting Oracle is about. Also, I have found that there's definitely a level of submission that should be involved with consulting at Oracle. I know I've had readings where people have done way more talk. They've done more talking than I have. And I'm like, did you call to explain yourself or are you calling to get information? And I can tell you the answer is to explain themselves, to make this excuse and make that excuse. I'm like, no, just listen, just gather. You know, it's a very humbling situation, but it's very necessary. If you have a lot going on, this is something you might even want to do quarterly until you get through with the emergency that you're going through. But I definitely say at least once a year, stop what you're doing and make sure you're on the right track. It's like traveling. You know, I do a lot of traveling. Sometimes I'm on the back road. Sometimes I'm on, you know, 75. It's okay. But even when, especially when I'm on those back roads and I'm turning left and right and left and right, I do have to stop every 30 minutes and just put in the GPS and make sure the GPS is like, oh, yeah, you're going in the right direction. I'm like, okay, I just want to make sure I didn't miss a left when I should have done right, you know. I just want to make sure that, you know, there's no detours coming up that I didn't know about.
And to me,
my small opinion, doing the check-in is also a way of keeping the ego in check, which is something that we have to work hard at keeping in check. When you stop and make sure you're on the right path, to me, that just gives God the opportunity to give us more information about our path. You know, let's take the time to figure out, you know, is this still God, is this still what you want me to do? I'm moving ahead. I think I'm making progress. Is this still what you want from me? Yes. Okay, wonderful. Keep going. But when you're just moving ahead without stopping, without checking, without ensuring that you have the right protections, because if you stop ahead of time, God might say, hey, look, yeah, you're on the right path, but up about a mile, you're going to need to put on your boots. Yeah, you know, the road's going to get rocky. You know, like those big yellow signs we have on the highway, they're always telling us information. The side is closed. Prepare for 10 miles. Road work ahead. You know, there's always information if you're prepared for it. It doesn't mean you're not on the right path. It just is trying to give you some more information so you can make better decisions, okay? So that's why I suggest at least once a year you stop what you're doing and find out, hey, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Another thing that I do, and that All of a Wonderful Approach does, we have journals. Take the time, write the information down. Even information that comes through in a reading, you might say, I don't understand that, or that doesn't make sense to me, or I haven't heard, I haven't seen that come about in my life. And what you can say, what I say all the time is, okay, put it in your hat, you know, you'll see it later. So for me, that means write it down so that you can get, so when you're reviewing your reading, you'll be able to get the information later. Sometimes, you know, your reader will say soon, and you're like, okay, soon, a couple of hours, and that soon may be a couple of months. You know what I'm saying? So write all the information down so that you can go back and look at it and be like, man, this said soon. But I guess, you know, not this soon, or maybe it's a different season soon. And then also, I suggest people write it down so that they can go back. So they can go back and then ask questions, you know. Say, hey, Mama Seven, last time we spoke, last time we had a reading, this came up. And I haven't seen this yet, or I haven't seen it at all. You know, what's going on with that? You know, what's this? You know, you can't do that if you don't ever ask the original question. You can't do that if you didn't take notes as to what was going on at that time. Please don't leave that to your reader. Please don't leave that to the oracle, okay? It's your job to keep track of your notes and everything like that. Honestly, the information is in the reader. For such a limited time, the reader doesn't always know what was said. For their protection, your protection, everyone's protection, the reader doesn't store the information. You're supposed to store the information. It's your information. Why would that information just delete out of an oracle's head? One, because it's too much information in there already. Two, that's your private information. I love it when the websites say, you know, when it wipes it clean after I'm finished. Yeah, please take my information off. Don't keep my information. I don't need you pondering my information. I need to ponder my own information. Okay? And then also, you know, protecting the oracle in you, okay? Once that information is loose, once the information has been spoken on, it's your job to take care of it. It's not the oracle's job to remind you.
Not at all. And in fact, we are trained not to remind you. The only time you get reminded, especially for Mama 7, is when Spirit reminds me. So something comes up, we're like, man, this feels so familiar. Did this come up in your reading? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, man, this right here, this feels unresolved. Does this come up? Okay. All right, I understand what's going on. You know, but your reader should not be holding your information, reminding you, hey, Spirit said, that's your job. That's your job. It's your job to put that forward. It's your job to review your information. It's your job to make sure that you've done everything that you said that you're going to do. Ask all the questions you say you're going to ask. And if you have any more questions, you can come back and ask, but it's not the reader's responsibility. Some readers do this for a living, and that's their only living. Can you imagine all that information? This is why some readers don't look good. But this is why, you know, the weight of this and the level of responsibility of this can be so heavy on people because they don't do it right. They don't wash their hands in between readings. They don't know how to maintain and manage energy. They don't know how to dismiss energy once the reading's over. You know, there's so much to this, okay? So much to this that we have to take the time. Now do you see why I had to let the young brother know 6 months you shouldn't be making this phone call? 6 months you shouldn't be soliciting in such a fashion. You know, 6 months? Mm-mm. Because it takes so much longer than that to begin to understand the ins and outs of what's going on. And not to be overworking your spirit or your ancestors. Not to be overworking the protection pieces that you do have. Any other questions that I have going on with understanding Oracle? Because I want to make sure that we take the time to really go through this. This is an important thing, okay? So we went over how often we need it, right? Yes. We went over what an Oracle is. Yes. We went over the tools that oracles use. Yes. I don't know. How do you know what a good oracle is? How to find a good oracle? I can tell you some. A good oracle is someone that you, number one, know, have access to, is a real person. Okay? Please do not do this online. I had to, I was talking to a young angel, and, you know, she was asking me, how do I know that this is, you know, should I study with this? I think it's from Facebook group. And I was like, well, if they say this online, please stay away from them. Certain keywords, certain things, if they say this online, stay away. There are people that are out there, unfortunately, and I'm sorry to say this, but there are people out there playing, and you can't play with this stuff, okay? People dedicate their life to this. You know, this is life work. This is a mission. This is a ministry. It's not something to do. It's something cool that I did back in the day. It's not that, okay? And we have to really begin to take it seriously. You know, I teach a divining class, you know, and classes and stuff like that are going to be kicking off October. Yeah. So, you know, we're working hard to get all of our classes situated. We want to learn, want to build and everything else like that. But what you don't want to do is expose yourself to someone who doesn't seem to have their own stuff situated. I hate to be like that. I'm so sorry. You know, these people that, you know, I don't want to say internet stars, but, you know, these people that seem like they're all flash probably are.
And if you're not able to get, like, a personal connection with them, I wouldn't suggest doing that, you know. It's really not something to play with. You know, people are making life decisions off of these oracles. And when you're talking about, you know, a common question I get is about relationships. You know, I want to get in the relationship. I want to get out of a relationship. You need more than 6 months, a year, 2 years of gathering information under your belt before you start telling someone how to handle a problem, that's how to handle a challenge that they're having in such a big fashion. Okay? Before you tell this woman to leave her husband, who pays all the bills, before you tell this man how to, you know, get out of paying his child support because that's all he really wants to do, you know, before you start really advising people on this level of information, you know, that time spent gathering the information has to be, you know, you have to make that investment. So make sure that you're not doing any of this. Make sure this is not an ego stroke. I beg of you. Make sure you're not, because this is someone's life on the line. Their livelihood, their understanding, their peace of mind, and something that people never really think about, their children's life, their children's understanding, their children's peace of mind. You know, I look back at some of the decisions that my parents made, and I asked them, just like my kids ask me, did you get that read? Did you read that? Who told you that was going to be a good idea? You know, and it's so funny now. My kids they're so accustomed. My children are so accustomed to me reading and consulting with Oracle everything that they're like, you know, okay, what did the reading say? So they know they don't have to worry about mom's opinion. They don't have to worry about, you know, mom overstating mom. You don't have to worry about, oh, well, I know my mom doesn't like her. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with this is not the divine thing we're supposed to be doing, committing energy, time, resources to. So let's get in the habit. You know, we're quick to get to come home and talk on the phone with a girlfriend, ask a girlfriend, what's this, what's that. We'll ask our parents, hey, what's this, what's that. What about asking God? What about asking those divine energies that look after us and guide us, and they know so much more? Even like when I tell a story, I try to tell all the story, but I usually tell about, it depends, 75% of the story, just time-wise. I didn't have time to go over, it was rainy, it was dark, it was this. I don't have time for all that, right? But when you take it to God, God knows exactly what you were doing, what you were going through, how it was set up, everything. Take it to God. Go to your oracles and find out what is the best path for me. I promise you, once you get there, the peace that comes about you is so much greater because you will know you're on the right path. And then we go back to the original question, how do you know? What's your motivation for doing this? What's your motivation? I have a brave caller that would like to speak. I think that's kind of cool. Let's grab the phone lines for half a second. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mama Seven.
Oh, this is the love bug elephant. There you go. Hey.
Ooh-wee. Why are we showing up tonight?
All right. Oh, look, we're here. We already here. How you doing?
I'm fine. I have two questions because this topic is real, like, it's, I guess this is next, I guess, for me. But the first question is, the difference, what is the difference between the oracle and the psychic?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is, are there oracles mm-hmm. that hear, not hear, but feel versus hear?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's it.
Two really good questions. Hang on while I answer them, okay? So there's
yes, ma'am.
An oracle and a psychic. I guess somebody can be both. From what I understand, psychics are given information. Oracles gather information.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, like, when we're doing a guided meditation, I'm not really gathering information. I'm not pulling. I'm not asking for any information. The information that is already in the universe, that's all I'm gathering at that time. You know what I'm saying? So I know there may be times where people are like, wow, okay, so when we were at the guided meditation, she said A. And then when I did a reading, she went through, like, half the alphabet, you know. Why was it different? Because when I was doing the reading, I was focused only on you. I was focused on your energy. I had asked the higher powers to come and to give me this information. So I was gathering, I was pulling the information when I was doing the reading. But at the guided meditations, when we're just out delivering messages, those are just information. Those are messages that the universe floating around, and I'm just really at that point, I'm just interpreting them. I'm kind of pointing them to the people that they belong to. But I'm not pulling the information. I'm more delivering it. It's already there.
I get it. Let me see.
All right, and what was the second one again?
Are there oracles that feel versus hear?
Okay, so there's all kind of clairs out there, clair audio, clair visual, but yes. There are people that will see spirits and see information like it plays out in a movie, and I'll see that sometimes. Then there are people that hear. Then there are people that see colors. There are those that feel hot, cold. They'll go. You know, my empaths are really the ones that go through all of those changes. And so, you know, they'll feel the energy. And sometimes not just the energy, they will feel their time. There's a particular sister, when her mother comes through, I cannot breathe. You know what I'm saying? And I feel the heaviness. When I say I can't breathe, I have shortness of breath. I am, you know, finding myself taking really shallow breaths. I am, it's labored. It's this, and I'm like, how come every time I'm talking to you? And then she had to explain this was something that her mother actually goes through, actually feels. And so her mother, because she wants me to tell her, I'm here, I'm with you, I'm feeling you, I'm guiding you. And so I will actually physically feel that. And so there are those feelings. People that get messages about people's health, like if I get a message about your body, would I, you need to get to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? I don't try to dig any further because I don't want to feel all your little aches and pains. I got my own aches and pains. But there are people that will feel, and their focus is a whole lot more on the physical body than it is on the spiritual body. There are some people, I got in a reading from a Babalao, and he's telling me all this great stuff that was 20 years into the future. And I'm like, dude, I want to know about right now. You know, I want to know, can I go to the movies with this cute guy? And you're taking me all the butterflies into the journeys and living lifetimes. I'm like, I don't even want all that information. I want to know what's going on right now. And so, that's why you have to find an oracle that speaks your language, you know, that kind of lets you know the things that you're interested in knowing. If not, you can end up spending/investing a lot of money in something that you don't really care that much about, you know what I'm saying? Or
it's just not relevant for you right now. It's like, okay, I'll put that in my hat for 5 years. You know, I try to, when I'm doing readings, to keep the information on the next 12 months to 2 years, because that's where people want to put their energy right now. So, yeah. Did that answer both your questions?
Yes, ma'am. I have to journal.
Okay.
So. and the reason why I ask these things, because it's like, as I'm like, and I'm not striving to like, hey, everybody, look at me. It's when I'm having a conversation with friends, and then it's like I'm being specific with something that I had no clue about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, or saying names now. Like, I'm like, whoa, hold up. Okay, hold on. And I didn't hear the name. I just felt the name. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so let me sit back for a second and just reflect, because this is new, and I'm not going to be loudmouth. And, hey, everybody, you know, I'm really striving to process this stuff. And I know that it's a part of my journey, and I know that I'm aligned. But what I'm striving, I don't want to be, you know, getting back in the mud. So
yes,
I'm just striving to take my time and just accept what's coming for me and what's next for me, you know, and it's a little different because I'm like, hold up, Lord, hold on, Lord, me, you know. So that's why I asked those questions. So you've done an excellent job with explaining.
Awesome. I'm glad you got it. But thank you so much for calling in, being brave. And, yeah, that journaling, get to it. That's something we'll always do. So, I mean, I still do, okay? It's something my mother does, okay? So that journaling is a part of the journey, because you have to document where you've been and where you're going, you know? So even if it comes up that, hey, we're not going down this street, at least you'll know, take this street off my map. I don't, you know, I'm not going down this street. So, you know, we have to journal. And journaling helps us to get to another place in our mind and in our spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. Keep that journaling going. Keep enjoying your awakening process. And I'm so glad to see the flower bloom. That's my job. I get to see it. So enjoy the rest of your evening, my dear.
Yes, ma'am. I love you.
I love you too. All right. Look, also, when it comes to your oracle, I remember I had gotten a reading, let me see, Talib was 2, so let's say about 14 years ago. And I was going through some financial struggles. And from what I gather, and now 14 years later, I can tell you it's true, the struggles were going to last a minute. You know, it was going to take a minute to get back to the financial stability that I once had, right? And so the reader that was reading it, she said, oh, darling, these troubles, you know, this financial situation is pretty bad. I'm like, okay, well, what do you call bad? She was like, what do you mean, what do I call bad? I'm like, yeah, what do you call bad? You know, I'm a tax accountant. In my former life, I was a tax accountant. I said, I'm a tax accountant. What do you call bad? Because what I call bad and what you call bad could be two different things. And then she was like, okay, bad, my bad is like B-A-D. That's what that bad I'm talking about, okay? And we kind of joked about it in the middle of this very, very difficult reading, okay? But your reader, you will learn after that first reading when your reader says, okay, we have some work to do. You will know that if this is something that, you know, hey, put a little asterisk beside because this is some work. Or if this is something that you're going to have to, like, take out college classes for, you know what I'm saying? If this is something that you need to dedicate the next 2 years of your life to, if this is something, you know, that you're going to have to, no matter what, you will know at that point, right? So I strongly suggest that people stay with the readers that they have, because that will help. You already know what that means. So when they say, oh, look, this is going to get better,
you know, you'll know what the word better means, you know. Because for me, anything better than where we are, all you have to be is 2 inches higher and you're better, you know. So I find that it's easier for me to speak to the same person because they have the same English, the same lingo, and I understand what they mean by that. So you have your reader, you know what she means, you know what he means when they say, you know, okay, this is, we have to do some work to get this taken care of. You know how much work that's going to reply. And also, you know, I have gotten readings from people, I'm like, oh, well, there you go. You know, I'm never doing that again, not with that person. You know, I have gotten readings where I really did not appreciate, I'm going to tell you this, the tone, the affliction, the judgment. And I'm like, look, I didn't call you for that. I called you to find out divine information. And I've even had to say, what's God saying? What's God saying about this? Okay? Not your personal opinion. You know, what is God saying? And that was the last time I spoke to that particular reader about this. So if you're not getting what you feel is God's information, if you're getting too much of the soapbox, you know, their own thoughts, feelings, opinions, blah, 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 blah. Don't, you know, that's the time when you may have to make other plans. You may have to reach out to someone else because no matter what, you're held accountable for the information being loose. You're accountable for the information being part of the universe. So, you know, don't have your reader keep saying, oh, I think we've said this 3 years in a row. Don't do it. Don't have them do it. If you have a reader and they're saying the same thing over and over and you're not listening, you might need a new reader. If you're not really comprehending and understanding, if you don't know what God wants from you, you may need a new leader. You should be very clear about what you should be doing right now. Now, do you know the meaning of life? No, none of us do. You know, the meaning of life is something that we learn in retrospect, okay? But I need you to have a good understanding as to what you're supposed to be focusing your energy on. You should know that. What you should be studying at this moment, you should know that. You know, you should know things that are going to be good for your spirit and things that are not good for your spirit. These are automatics, okay? So we have to really begin to work on these things, work on them for ourselves, be, you know, be strong, be proud, you know, make sure that we are gathering the right information. Take the time. I have readings. My first reading I got when I, by myself, I was 18. By the infamous Oba Fajardo down in Miami, Florida, down in the house of Luca Me, okay? And I think he smoked and drank and cussed for an entire hour. And I thought this was the funniest thing in the world. I said, oh, I can't wait to do this. This, I mean, it was classic. It was so, it was a rite of passage for me. You know what I'm saying? I had gotten readings as a child with my mother, and I'm sure that I always felt like the reader was being very scriptive, as trying to, you know, delicately say things to my mother that are not going to be offensive to her, but also, you know, say some information about this child here. So my first reading by myself, oh, it was all of the theatrics that I could have possibly wanted at that time, and it was great. And I will still call Obot to laugh and giggle with him as he fusses and cusses and drinks and everything else like that. But I still look at those readings. I still look and see, wow, okay, so this is what this looks like 30 years down the line. Okay, this is what he said, this is what I did. Now I see the difference. You know,
I might have been following the first piece, but not the second. I didn't pay any attention to the second. And so not just get the readings that you have, study them. You know, usually with readings, I give out theme words, words to listen to, words supposed to be focusing on, stuff like that, right? Are you paying it? Do you know what those are? You should be paying attention to those. You should be listening and looking for them to play out in your life. And when someone says the word, then you'd be like, oh, okay, I already had a heads up on this energy. I already knew this energy was coming. I'm already prepared for this energy. You know, if the few times I've had to give hard readings, hard information, there comes a time where I'm like, hey, look, don't get stuck in how hard this information is. Get stuck in what's the solution. I mean, I have had readings that have stumped the reader, okay? And I'm like, okay, that's wonderful. What am I supposed to do? What's the solution? How do I move from here, you know? And so that's what we have to do. Even when we have hard information or information that we're not wanting or didn't want to, the key word that I heard today was accept. I didn't want to accept that. So even when you're dealing with things that may be difficult, having a plan ahead of time is the difference between someone with spiritual knowledge and someone that doesn't have it. Knowing that, okay, I'm going through a rough time, let me study my prayers. There's different prayers for different things. If you need prayers that will help you stay strong, stay in God's word, stay strong, there's prayers for that. If you have prayers that you use to settle your spirit, if it's unhappy, if it's anxious, if it's nervous, there's prayers for that. I went to sleep. I go to sleep. I have a nice rukia, which is a long prayer. It's a long Islamic prayer that fights negativity, and it's about 20 minutes. And I wake up and go to sleep to that. That, the sounds of that prayer, this series of prayers, Rukia is a series of prayers. The sounds of these prayers put together in that formation is so peaceful to my spirit, not even to my ears, it's not to my brain. I'm not intellectually trying to figure out what it is. Pleasing to my spirit, I'm like, I'm good. I know I can be good. Then there's sounds that are not pleasing to my spirit. You know, the Catholic hymns and haws and the choirs and stuff. Boy, that stuff is scary. Talk about somebody wide awake. I'm like, okay, I'm awake. I got it. I'm awake. Those don't sit with my spirit at all. I am, you know, if you ever wanted to get my attention, have one of those things playing in the background. And I'm like, hey, what is that? You know what I'm saying? So those are types of things you have to know about yourself. Know what hymns work for you. Know what prayers work for you. Know what oracles work for you. You know, if you getting all this information, this oracle's like just giving it to you and giving it to you, that's who you need to be with. Get there. Stay there. Okay? As always, we end the program with prayer. It's hard to believe the program's coming to an end. I'm glad that we had a moment to spend together at the beginning of the program, just speaking about some of the things that we got going on in our life and how can we hold our Wednesdays sacred. Let's hold these Wednesdays tight, family. We got to do that. We've got to hold them tight. And we're getting ready for our November event. More information will be posted on that the 1st of September on the website, and, of course, I'll be sharing on the radio, okay? All right, so we'll speak more soon about that. I'm going to move into prayer. Father, Mother, God, I give thanks and praise that I have the ability to come before you humbly and offer this prayer. I'm only offering
I'm thankful, ever so thankful, for the angels that literally were walking with me today. They woke me this morning. They put the exact right words in my mouth. They were able to guide me on my journey. I am thankful for all of that. God, I'm thankful any and every time you think that I am deserving spiritual information and knowledge. God, I want to make sure that I am being responsible and accountable for the knowledge so that your work will be done, your will be done, and my work will be considered good in your eyes. I hope that I'm setting the right example for all of those in my responsibility to you, God. I hope that I'm setting the right example for those as I try to walk through this journey, as I try to make sure to hold myself in the valley properly, as I try to make sure to get out of this valley that I don't belong in. God, I want to make sure that I'm representing myself, my gender, my race, my species. You know, I want to make sure that I'm doing what you had designed me to do. I want to be the instrument that you created in your divine eyes when you were creating me. I want to make sure that I'm encouraging, inspiring, keeping a kind word on my lips so that I can encourage those that are with me and those that are against me. God, I'm here to do your work, however that is to be done. I have no reservations about the work that I am to do. None. I come with a full heart, knowing that I am loved, knowing that I am cared for, knowing that I have the ability and that I'm worth every ounce of it. I come to give love, knowing that your children, your sheep, are worth it. I'm here to care for them, to nurture them, to love them. I pray that they feel it. I pray that I'm effective. I pray that I am doing the work that you have set me out to do. I'm thankful for all of those people that help me to do the work that I do. And I pray that they are blessed in return. God, I know all of these things are available, possible. You are still in the miracle business. You are still in the blessings business. Humble and eyes open wide so that I can recognize you and the work that you do. I thank you for all that you do, all that you've given to me. I am thankful for the protection you provide my family, my children. I am thankful for the protection that you provide each and every one of the angels that work in a wonderful approach for the goodness that they provide. I am thankful for them. Please continue to bless and protect them. Amen.